A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 126. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this is a bonus show. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, we like to throw in a bonus show from time to time to catch up on some bits of news and housekeeping and feedback. And we've got all of those here. And we're going to finish off with a bit of an interview that we managed to record. So something coming up that's quite exciting.
Ooh, first celebrity interview.
Our first celebrity interview here on British Invaders.
So getting into some news, there was some very exciting news from December 2011 from the BBC that you may well have heard about by now. There were a couple of missing episodes that were rediscovered. One of them was Airlock, which was the third episode from Galaxy 4, the William Hartnell story from 1965, which has no other existing episodes. There is about, I believe, a 6-minute clip or so that exists from episode 1, but there are no complete episodes and very few clips and very few photos from that. So now we have episode 3, so that is very exciting.
Indeed, yes. And as you say, you've probably already heard, but also in the same find, we had the second episode from a Patrick Troughton story called The Underwater Menace, originally from 1967, a 4-part story. This is part 2. For that one, we also have episode 3 already exists. So that just leaves episodes 1 and 4 missing. And both these missing episodes, I think, were screened by the BBC at the British Film Institute in December 2011. And hopefully, Brian, there will be at some point a general release so that we can get to see this recently retrieved sort of like, you know, almost a treasury for Doctor Who fans.
Yes, absolutely. The plan is that there will be some DVD release for these. It isn't clear exactly what form that will take or exactly when it will happen. But that is very exciting, of course, and there are now 106 missing episodes rather than 108. And, of course, all of the missing episodes are from the 1960s black and white era with the first two Doctors, William Hartnell and Patrick Troughton.
And, of course, these two episodes, they came to light, as usual, I suppose, in a slightly roundabout and mysterious way, Brian.
They did, didn't they? It was from a private collection. A retired broadcast engineer called Terry Burnett had bought these two films at the School Fete in Hampshire in the 1980s and had just bought these and added them to his collection. I don't think he had really been watching them. He just sort of had them somewhere in this film collection that he kept.
Yeah, it is strange, isn't it? And we know a little bit about their provenance, that they were originally from ABC Australia television network. So they were obviously some of the episodes that the BBC sold to other networks around the world. And then at some point, they crept their way back to a School Fete, of all things.
No one knows how they found their way there, of course. We do know for sure that one of those episodes was from Australia. It looks like the other one probably is as well. In one case, there were some cuts. They censored the episodes in Australia, and there were some segments that were removed from one of the episodes, which makes it quite clear that it must be at some point from Australia. We do actually have the clips that were removed. There is this strange situation with the missing episodes where the Australian censor board would instruct the television network ABC to remove certain segments of film from this second to that segment or this frame number to that frame number. And the way that it was verified that those segments were actually removed is the film clips themselves had to be sent back to the censor board. So the censor board would have these clips of film of the bits that were cut out. And the censor board has actually retained those clips all along. So the things that were cut out in Australia back in the 60s, we actually have those clips now. So it means that they can be put back into this episode that was rediscovered.
Fascinating stuff. As we know, the BBC has an amnesty on missing episodes. So the policy is if anybody returns one, they will take a copy and then return it to the owner. And also, I believe, Brian, that there was an offer on the table of a full-size Dalek for anybody who could recover a missing episode. So I do wonder, and maybe one of our listeners might be able to fill us in a bit more on this, I do wonder whether Mr. Burnett is going to get a Dalek.
Yes, I'm not sure of the details of that. Who was it who set up that offer?
I believe it was Blue Peter, the television show, the children's television show, announced it. So, yeah, fascinating to know if he still gets a Dalek.
It had been quite a while since an episode had been found. There was an episode that was found in 2004, and then before that there was one in 1999. So it had been 7 years since the last find of an episode, and it was sort of one at a time, and now we have two episodes being found at once. So it really was pretty exciting for those of us who are fans of the 1960s era of Doctor Who.
Yeah, great stuff.
There was another missing Doctor Who discovery, but this one was actually much more obscure. And this was related to a proposed radio play from the 1960s that was related to the Peter Cushing Doctor Who films that ran in the 1960s that were sort of a variant version of Doctor Who that the main character was called Doctor Who and he was from Earth and had built this time machine. So it was quite different, but based on Doctor Who. And they did a couple of films, and they were talking about doing a radio series on the same one. And as far as they got with that was they wrote the script for the radio series, or they wrote the script for the first episode of the radio series, and they actually recorded that first episode, but the BBC did not approve it, so it was never broadcast and never went any further. And that audio recording has since been lost, and the script had also been lost. Well, that script has now been recovered. So the script for this Doctor Who radio episode now exists, and in fact, it has been released in an issue of the Nothing at the End of the Lane magazine, which is like a little magazine of Doctor Who research that includes all sorts of odd, interesting artifacts. So that has been rediscovered and released.
Okay, more fascinating stuff. And if you're interested in the whole subject of the missing episodes of Doctor Who and some of the story as to why they're missing and some of the stories as to how some of them have been recovered, then we did cover this in British Invaders back in episodes 31 and 32, which you can find on our website. And as ever, if you have other comments or observations about the missing episodes or the recent finds, please let us know on the email or the blog or the Facebook page.
Yes, absolutely. We should also talk about some proposed remakes that may or may not be happening, but are on the table. And in fact, remakes related to a certain TV producer, someone you've spent some time looking at some of his work, Eamon.
Yes, we're talking Gerry Anderson, you know, very exciting creator here from British television. And yeah, a couple of recent news stories about his shows.
Yes, not long ago, we did a British Invaders discussion about Space 1999. That was in episodes 118 and 119 for the podcast. And there were lots of things to talk about Space 1999, but one of the things that we didn't know about yet at the time was a new remake that they're working on called Space 2099. And it was announced by ITV America and HD Films, which HD Films did the remake of V for American television. So it would be an American remake with a British connection in there too, with ITV. And it seems that they are in pre-production, but sort of well into pre-production for that, and have been working on this new version of Space 1999, which is not related to the fan remix that we talked about that was also called Space 2099. This is actually a full, complete remake they're talking about doing. And We don't know if it will actually be completed and happen, but certainly it is being actively worked on. So that's kind of interesting.
It is, yes. I mean, it's, you know, this stuff is watch this space, but yeah, the prospects of a new incarnation of Space 1999 coming to our screens again, which would be fantastic.
Absolutely. And it's not the only Gerry Anderson remake that's being discussed as well.
That's right. Gerry Anderson himself was interviewed on BBC Radio 5 Live here in the UK in January of 2012. And he announced during that interview that he is working on a remake or a new version of Thunderbirds. And that's the Super Mario Nation show we covered back in British Invaders episodes 65 and 66. He couldn't say much about it. He did say that he'd signed a non-disclosure agreement, but as far as we can gather, this will be a CGI version rather than a puppet version of Thunderbirds. So it may be similar to another show that he's already done a CGI version of, which was Captain Scarlet and the Mysterons. But again, the possibility, Brian, of some more new Thunderbird stuff coming to us.
It sounds like Gerry Anderson himself may actually be a producer on that, which would be very interesting.
It would.
He is now in his early 80s, so he is not doing quite as much of this work, but still seems to be actively involved in some of these things, which is great.
It is. It's fantastic. So, you know, there we are. A couple of remakes or new versions come in, and we await with interest.
Absolutely.
Tom Baker here to promote British Invaders. Don't miss it. You won't regret it. Grow old along with me. The best is yet to be. And if you believe that, you'll believe anything. Toodaloo.
So as we like to do on these bonus episodes, let's talk a little bit about some feedback we've had from some listeners. Paul Greaves from the Time Vault podcast commented on our discussion about the Sapphire and Steel audio dramas. And he certainly is also a fan of Sapphire and Steel, both in television and audio versions.
Yes, in particular, he commented on our website about the actress Susanna Harker, who plays Sapphire in the Big Finish audio dramas that we were talking about. And he pointed out what an underrated actress she is and how good she is here in Sapphire and Steel, but also in other things like House of Cards and Ultraviolet, and of course the BBC's Pride and Prejudice, which she also had a major part in as well. So, you know, a good actress, and certainly something that, you know, that makes listening to these audio dramas well worthwhile.
Yes, absolutely. And it's certainly true. Susanna Harker is a very good actress indeed. We also had some show suggestions from Michael, including The Champions and Department S. So getting back into some of the 1960s sort of spy-fi types of things. So that is an interesting possibility. We may do that at some point.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, if you do have suggestions for shows that we might cover in the future, particularly for some things that might have escaped our eye, some of the more obscure stuff, then please do let us know, because we like to look at this stuff, see what's available and if it can fit into our schedule.
Yes, we do program things quite a ways in advance, so it may be that if you suggest something that it will be quite a while before we get around to covering it, but we certainly do like to hear suggestions from people, and it's always interesting to hear what ideas people have about what we might look at.
Yep, absolutely, and we've had lots of good ideas and good discussion going on, particularly on our Facebook page. So do, if you're on Facebook, search for us there and find us. And in particular recently, I guess our episodes on Space 1999 probably generated the most discussion and debate, I think, Brian. Lots of interesting stuff going on there about that.
Yeah, there were some interesting points. It was fun to read that, actually.
And also recently on the Facebook page, we've been debating who would make a good Doctor Who. And again, some interesting and perhaps unusual suggestions being made there. And also talking about companions for Doctor Who in the new series and who would make an interesting companion. So, you know, again, on the Facebook page, stuff going on, and it's great to see this discussion and debate.
Yeah, there were some really fun ideas in some of those, so it was really neat to read them. We've also had comments about The Flip Side of Dominic Hyde, which we covered, then some interesting things about that. And again, people getting into talking about some of these old spy shows and spy-fi type shows from the 60s. The Avengers, The Champions, The Protectors. There was some fun stuff from that era, and we may get into a little more of that at some point. There was also a discussion from Gordon putting some ideas there about the Edge of Darkness, which we discussed, and whether it is sci-fi, which it has some elements there, or if it's more of a piece of mythic fantasy for television. So some interesting ideas with how you categorize things and some sort of things that we wouldn't usually get into, at least not in too much detail in the podcast, but we can get into a little bit more discussion with some listeners on the Facebook group, and that's really nice.
It is. And as ever, thanks to some of our listeners and regular contributors there on Facebook. We've mentioned Gordon. We'll shout out to Tony, who's always helpful and informative, to Bernard and Kenneth, who's recently entertained us with some artwork he's doing of a little Doctor Who story there. So, you know, lots of different stuff going on in the Facebook group.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks to you guys for participating recently, and lots of you have been involved there just recently and a while ago and all sorts of things. So it's really great to have that going. I'm very pleased to hear from all of you on there, for sure.
It's nice to be part of it on the Facebook group. So turning now, let's talk about Big Finish again. Big Finish Productions, who produce audio dramas and also sort of dramatic readings based on lots of genre shows, I guess, Brian, but in particular Doctor Who, and they've done Sapphire and Steel, as we've already mentioned. They've also done The Tomorrow People, quite a few shows that they cover, although their main range is, I guess, Doctor Who.
Yes, it really is, but they do some very good full cast audio dramas, and they do sort of smaller cast, two or three voice types of things that are narrated that are very good as well. And something they have started just recently, they have a range of Fourth Doctor adventures. The Big Finish catalog, they have been recording audio dramas and recording Doctor Who in particular since 1999. Their main range of sort of double disc releases basically every month has been running since 1999 and has over 150 releases in it. And they've been doing that with four different actors playing the Doctor. And these are the original actors from the 1980s and 90s. So Peter Davison, Colin Baker, Sylvester McCoy, and Paul McGann. And of course, you might wonder, what about Tom Baker, the Fourth Doctor? Well, for one reason or another, he had never been interested in recording those audio dramas with Big Finish. Well, now that has changed, and Tom Baker is on board recording full cast audio dramas with Big Finish. They are running a series of six single CD releases running this year, and those are the Fourth Doctor Adventures with Tom Baker as the Doctor and Louise Jameson as Leela. And those are sort of two-episode stories, but they're longer than the TV two episodes, so they're really nice audio dramas with Tom Baker as the Fourth Doctor. And they also did a set of Lost stories that had a couple of longer stories that could have been made for TV, but never were. They were put aside. So they recorded those, and those have been released already as a box set with Tom Baker and Louise Jameson. And there is also another run, and it's mostly been recorded for next year, for 2013, which will be the second season of the Fourth Doctor Adventures. And that is with Tom Baker and Mary Tam as Romana. That's the first incarnation of Romana. So that will be really neat to hear those next year. And that's a run of seven one-disc releases. So they have already put together and I believe recorded all of these 18 discs worth of recordings with the Fourth Doctor. So Tom Baker is back recording as Doctor Who.
And fantastic it is. And the tagline that's getting used by a Big Finish, and it's a very appropriate one, I think, Brian, is it's Saturday tea time in the 1970s all over again. And certainly listening to the ones I've heard so far, Tom Baker and Louise Jameson just about picking up where they left off, really. It just sounds exactly like it, doesn't it, Brian?
Yes, it's like not skipping a beat. It could be something that was recorded in the 1970s for the type of performance they give it. It's really very good.
Yep, great stuff. So we're going to talk about quickly about another couple of other Big Finish releases that are happening at the moment or coming up shortly. Countermeasures is a spin-off from the TV story Remembrance of the Daleks, a Sylvester McCoy story from 1988. And if you know that story, you'll know there was mysterious events at a school, and that after this, the British government has set up the Countermeasures Group to investigate strange phenomena and dangerous alien technology. And so this series, initially of four stories from Big Finish, and starring Simon Williams, Pamela Salem and Karen Gledhill from the original show. And that's due to be released or start being released, I think, in July 2012, Brian.
That one's actually a box set. So all four of them will be out in one box in July. And it does look very exciting. I think there'll be a neat sort of 1960s vibe to that.
Yes, jumping from the 1970s vibe of the Tom Baker stories, we've got this sort of 1960s themed one, which will be good, yes.
Yes, and there is something else with the 1970s theme, or a late 70s and early 80s theme coming from Big Finish. They now have a license to produce Blake 7 audio dramas. And they have started releasing them already. They're in box sets. These are the type of two-person dramas they do. So you have a main character who is narrating the story and a second character coming into it as well. So you get some internal dialogue and some things that really feel like a dramatic presentation as well, with two actors and full music and sound effects and sound design. So it's really very good. And they have, in the first box set, they have Gareth Thomas reprising his role as Blake, Paul Darrow reprising his role as Avon, and Michael Keating reprising the role of Villa. So we have some original characters back in there, and that first box set is already out. The plan for 2012 is that there are two box sets with three discs in each of them, and a couple of novels as well that will be available in print and as ebooks. And those are brand new novels with the Blake 7 cast as well. Now in 2013, again, there will be another two novels, and they actually increased the box sets. Instead of two box sets in 2013, there will be four box sets. So a total of 12 single discs Blake 7 plays coming out from Big Finish in 2013 in those four box sets, along with a couple of novels. And one of the novels in 2013 will actually be written by Paul Darrow, who played Avon. So that will be pretty exciting as well. And in addition to the three returning characters with actors reprising their roles that we've mentioned, that we already have in the first box set, in future box sets, they already have things lined back. They have Jan Chappell returning as Callie, Jacqueline Pierce returning as Servalon, and Stephen Grief returning as Travis, at least. And that is very exciting to hear all of those things being recreated again.
It's fascinating. And, hats off to Big Finish for getting these big actors back into these recordings. So, you know, from Tom Baker right the way through to Paul Darrow and Gareth Thomas and the Countermeasures people in the middle. It's great. It's quite a productive and exciting time for Big Finish Productions.
Yes, absolutely. And what I've heard from the Blake 7 releases from that first box set, they've been great. And there is certainly lots of stuff on the Doctor Who front that Big Finish is doing as well. And they're doing Sherlock Holmes and Stargate. They're doing all sorts of things. And it's really very good stuff. If you enjoy audio drama at all, it's really worth listening to. And if you haven't tried much with audio drama, it may be worth it to give some of their stuff a try. It's really very good stuff.
So bigfinish.com is the stuff to find, is the place to find all this stuff. And you know, again, if you've listened to it, if you have your own particular favorites or comments, please let us know.
Absolutely.
So other excitement recently, Brian, you became an actual British invader when you arrived on our shores.
I did go on a trip to the UK recently.
And very exciting, yes.
And in fact, I managed to cram into less than 2 weeks. I managed to get a couple of British sci-fi conventions in there and see some pretty neat events and performances. So that was really nice. And my other podcast, the other podcast I'm involved with, the Type 40 podcast, which is more of a Doctor Who podcast, we have already released a discussion of some of the events that both of us, Eamon, went to together in the UK earlier this year. And you were on that episode as well, Eamon. So if you look at the Type 40 podcast, you can hear some of our thoughts and some con reviews about some of the things that we got to do and got to see together in the UK. So that was really exciting.
Yes, absolutely. So more details on the Type 40 podcast, or again, you can find more about it on the Facebook page. And perhaps just to sum it up, Brian, how many doctors and how many companions did you meet in your 2 weeks visit?
I met 3 doctors and 3 companions.
Fantastic. So it was quite a productive trip. And you, as I say, you can hear all the details over on the Type 40 podcast. Worth going to check out, particularly if you're interested in trying some of these conventions yourself next year.
Absolutely. And if you look at the Facebook group, you can see a few photos of Eamon and of me with some of the stars that we remember from the past. So that's really neat.
It was great stuff. And while we're on the subject of your visit, we should give a shout out to our listener, Carl, who you actually met at the SFX weekend, the convention. I believe you met him in one of the queues, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. Waiting for an autograph and started chatting with this group of people. And one of the first things that Carl mentions when I say that I'm from Canada, that he listens to some podcasts with people from Canada, and British Invaders was one of the first things he mentioned. So that was really neat. So thank you for that little experience, Carl. That was really fun.
Excellent. And of course, one of the other conventions that we got to was Big Finish Day, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. Big Finish Day was this one-day celebration of the work that Big Finish does, and they had a fantastic group of actors and writers there from Big Finish stuff and from old classic Doctor Who and classic Blake 7 and Thunderbirds even. You know, this great array of people there. You can see a little bit more about that on our review on the Type 40 podcast. And in fact, in addition to seeing all of these people, we did manage to get a short interview with Nick Briggs. And you may know Nick Briggs from the new Doctor Who as the voice of the Daleks and the Cybermen and some other monsters. He appeared in Torchwood: Children of Earth. And at Big Finish, he is an executive producer. He's one of the top people at Big Finish. He is a writer, director, and actor at Big Finish. He stars in their Sherlock Holmes series. He does all kinds of work with them. So we'll now bring you a short interview with Nick Briggs. So we are here at Big Finish Day 2, and we are joined by none other than Nick Briggs.
Who's just expired.
Who's just had a very busy day. So how's it been? What's the day been like for you?
Oh, really good. I mean, I'm very, very busy. We had an inkling it was going to be this busy. Big Finish Day, the first one, was very successful, but we didn't ever think that a second one would take off like this. I think the key factor was Tom Baker.
Yes.
And the fact that he hadn't been doing conventions or stuff like Big Finish for many, many years. So, no, very successful, and people seem very happy with how it's gone. And we've made quite a few sales as well, which is always a bonus.
Absolutely. So, apart from Tom Baker, any other standouts of the day for yourself?
I've been happy with all the panels, and I think, people are very happy to see David Warner here. People are really thrilled to see Katie Manning, Annika Wilson, Louise Jameson, and Terry Malloy, who was a last-minute addition for us, actually, who's been absolutely brilliant, and he's a mate, really. He's worked with us so much. No, I think, and really, stand out for me is that quite often you go to conventions and you get a sort of grumbling from the attendees that things haven't quite gone the way they wanted, or they're a bit frustrated, or they had to queue too long. And I've not encountered any of that here. Everyone seems to be very happy with how it's gone. And that's my stomach after having a chocolate. That's the standout moment for me for the whole day. People just being enthusiastic and interested and supportive. I know it sounds a bit sort of happy clappy, doesn't it? But yeah, it's been lovely.
So, of course, you mentioned Tom Baker, and you are now
going great guns with new Tom Baker releases, and the first several are out. What has it been like, and what have the highlights been now after so many years of working with other doctors, now working with Tom Baker?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's all new for us, and it's been great, as it is with the other doctors, when they, you know, you think, oh, they really do sound like they did when they did the show, and that's how Tom has sounded, and he's been... I think, you know, his amazing enthusiasm for it all, and the fact that he said so many nice things when we've interviewed him about it, you know, where he said how much he's liked the scripts, how much he's liked working with me and Ken as directors, you know, that's all really gratifying. I suppose you sort of, one might have in the back of one's mind that you might eventually get Tom Baker, but that he might be a real pain in the neck to work with and really grudging and really dismissive of it all. And he's not. He's embraced it, you know. I never thought that I'd be sitting in a green room just before recording a script with Tom Baker, with him leafing through the script and chortling to himself and talking about certain scenes that he's going to record, saying, I really love that bit when, you know, and you think, well, I'm in heaven, really. So those are the, you know, standout moments for me there.
So is it starting to feel now like Tom Baker is one of the bunch, one of the team?
Yeah.
Or is he somehow different than a...
Well, no, he's one of our doctors now, and they're all very different, you know, and every year they all change a bit, and the different work we do with them and the different actors who work with them sort of changes the dynamic. So, but he's one of our doctors now. Yeah. But we love them all.
So what's coming up for Big Finish? What can you tell us about that you're excited about?
Well, there's... what am I particularly excited about? Quite excited about there being a new website soon. I'm also excited about the Mary Tam Romano adventures next year. But for me, one of the big things I'm working on at the moment is towards the end of this year, there's going to be a new Paul McGann 4 CD story in a box set. And I'm working on the story for that. I haven't had it... the storyline's not finished yet, so it hasn't been approved by the BBC, so, you know, things could change, but I'm really excited about that. There's also, we're doing another series of UNIT, but with the Doctor in it, called UNIT Dominion, and I've co-wrote that with Jason Arnop, and that's coming out later this year with Sylvester McCoy in it, and Tracy Childs returning as Klein.
Ooh.
You know, who I just knew, it was David Richardson's suggestion to do a series with her, and it's worked brilliantly. And we have... Beth Chalmers returning as Rain Creevy as well, who was you know, the companion in the Lost Stories with Sylvester McCoy. So yeah, no, really looking forward to those too.
That's very exciting.
Mm.
Now that it's already 2012, we can't really go through this without mentioning the 50th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously plans are being brewed in your house, in the BBC house, and Stephen Moffat's organisation. Two things. Are there any hints you can give us? And will there be any interplay or relationship between the BBC celebration and the Big Finish celebration of the 50th anniversary?
I don't think there'll be any... The only relationship between our two celebrations, as you quite rightly put it, it will be that we'll try not to tread on each other's toes.
Right.
And as I said in the panel just now, you know, Steve Moffat said, make your plans, then let's go out and chat about it, you know, because he said we have to have a certain elegance about it. He's not quite so wedded to the idea that we can't do anything that's anywhere remotely like what he's doing. He just thinks, you know, it would be silly to duplicate stuff, and I agree with that entirely, you know. So yeah, what was the other bit? The similarity between...
Are there any hints you can give us?
Oh, no.
Fair enough.
I knew there was something I couldn't say. No, no hints. But, you know, there are plans afoot. And, yeah.
Now, there have been, I don't know, rumours and conjecture over the past few years about things that have not been showing up in Big Finish being related to... the BBC not allowing it.
Mm.
There were many years recently without the Master showing up in Big Finish audios, for example.
Yes.
Davros was missing for quite some time.
Mm.
And now Davros is back, and the Master is coming back, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
And what it makes me wonder is, are these sorts of changes because the BBC is becoming more accepting about you including these things, or because the BBC isn't using them themselves?
Well,
or something else?
Yeah, I mean, we have a you know, a really good relationship with them, where they talk about, you know, it's not a good idea to, for us to duplicate what they do. I mean, interestingly, I have a theory that we should maybe do the same things as them, because like, if there's a Dalek story on television, it would be maybe a good idea if Audio Go and Big Finish and anyone else released something Dalek-y that month, because potentially it would bring more people to it. And that is an argument I put to the BBC, and they're sort of ruminating about that, you know, because things were very different. I think when Doctor Who first came back, there was very much the BBC sort of, you know, came to this world of Doctor Who that was going on without a TV series. And I think they wanted to stamp their, dare I say it, authority on it and say, look, we are making the TV series, and I think you should do what, you know, we don't want you to mess up or muddy the waters for what we're doing. And I think there's a realization now that it doesn't matter. You know, the 10 million people watch the TV series and a few thousand people buy all the spin-off things. So we're never going to torpedo them below the waterline. And in fact, really, the main reason for not doing the same things as the TV series is that we might look a bit stupid if we... And people say, well, that was just like something that was on telly last week. You know what I mean? So, sure. But certainly we were told not to use the Master. Okay. For quite some time, because we were...
Because of the Johnson Master.
Yeah, exactly, because Russell had big plans for the Master, right. And we were told they're big plans for the Master, so let's just leave it for now. But we weren't told not to use Davros, actually. It just happened that we had nothing planned for Davros. I mean, Davros is a difficult one. Everyone sort of... Even though he's a very sophisticated, articulate character, you have to pick and choose your stories for him, because ultimately you'll just end up telling the same story. Because he's so sophisticated, it ends up being the same sophisticated story. The Daleks, you can get away with that because they're a blunt instrument. You know, they come into a room, as it were, and just kill everyone, or shout at them, or both, usually. And so you can use Daleks in any situation. You can put them on the planet Zog, you can put them on a snow planet, you can put them underwater, you can do any, you can put them in a bus shelter. They will do the same thing, but the story can be completely different around all that. So the blunt instrument thing works with us, because here they come again and they just want to kill everyone. Davros, I think it's more difficult.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time.
Pleasure.
For a great day.
Thank you.
I suppose we'll finish by just asking you what do subscribers get at Big Finish?
I think you'll find that subscribers get more at bigfinish.com.
There we go. Excellent stuff. And we have to say a huge thank you to Nick Briggs for giving us his time, and to Paul Sprague, also of Big Finish, for setting that up for us. So thank you very much, guys. It was an absolute pleasure, and great to have that little interview there.
Yes, very exciting. Absolutely. Something else that is a little bit exciting for British Invaders is we now have a little bit of merchandise that we can offer to you, our listeners, if you're interested. We have vinyl decals of the British Invaders logo.
Woohoo!
Yeah, there are actually two different versions. They are both about 4 inches by 4 inches, and they are good quality vinyl decals. There is a black and white version that is white with the British Invaders logo cut into it. And then my favorite, we have a very nice full color version of the British Invaders logo as a vinyl decal. And those are both done by our friend Decal Mike. You can find his web store at decalmike.com. And there are a bunch of science fiction and podcast related vinyl decals available, including these two versions of the British Invaders decal. We here at British Invaders, we don't actually make any money off of those sales. The sales go to Mike's materials for doing the decals, and a little bit for his time as well. And those are not that expensive. They run sort of about $4.50 to about $7, depending which one you want to get. And if you're outside of the US, they add about $2 shipping for that. And we, of course, would be very happy to have anyone putting our name and logo out there where it can be seen.
Yeah, they do look great. As you say, decalmike.com takes you to his eBay store, and you can see that he's got all sorts of designs there from all sorts of shows and all sorts of podcasts and lots of genre stuff. And I have just ordered mine, and even with international shipping, it comes to not much more than a fiver for one of these decals. So, yeah, if you do want to have the British Invaders logo, then this is the way to get it. And similar to the Spot Brian in England competition, I will say that there will be a small British Invaders prize for the first photo on our Facebook page of somebody proudly displaying one of these decals somewhere around about their house or car or somewhere, Brian. But you can't enter, I'm afraid, Brian. You're disqualified.
Indeed.
So that will wrap us up, I guess, for this bonus show. Do come back and join us next time when we are getting into one of our show discussions. And the particular program we're looking at is called Random Quest, based on a John Wyndham short story of the same name. And this was a 2006 BBC Four production.
Yes, absolutely. That should be a good one to talk about.
Yes, and if you have seen it, then perhaps you could give us your thoughts on it by getting in touch.
Absolutely. So you can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.BritishInvaders.com. We have the Facebook group, of course, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much, and as ever, thank you for all your contributions, and until next time, this is Eamon in England, signing off.